So have you ever been to a restaurant where the menu gets, they bring you a book and you're going through the menu and you're wondering what in the world I have? Well, it's easier when you're like my brother-in-law's sister. She only ate mashed potatoes. I mean, we'd go and we'd have this Thanksgiving dinner and it was usually mashed. But she would only eat mashed potatoes, no gravy, no, just mashed potatoes. None of the ham, none of the meat, just mashed. She was an adult. I don't know. I hope she's broadened out her menu. But so it doesn't matter if you have a big menu and you only eat certain things. So view me this morning as the waiter coming out offering you what's on special today. The hard part is I can't eat it for you. I can tell you about it. And if you want to eat it, that's great. It'd be good for you. But that's the whole, here's the menu. Here's the menu. Each day you need to look at the menu and eat. Order up and eat. Come to me and buy food without money. So we have things to eat. Today I'm using the idea of food because, you know, it's just something we do once in a while to try to get people to remember what you say. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Maybe it even makes it worse, I don't know. So anyway, I have the 3B sandwich on special today. There's much more you can eat, but this one is what I'm offering today. Lord, help us to chew on some things today and help us not to just hear what's being said, but help us to actually take it in and actually chew on it ourselves, to actually take in and consume your word today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians 13. I'm not going to be on this verse, but one a little bit later. But the verse that I'm going to start with is 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, as a Christian, we're encouraged to test yourself to see if you're in the faith. And so the first thing we want to know is, am I in the faith? Am I in the faith? Examine ourselves. Or do you not know that Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail the test. So the first thing we want to take a look at is Christ in you. Because if He isn't, that's the first thing we need to be assured of, that Christ is in us. Okay? And so I want to just let you know that Jesus, for all who believe on Him, dwells in your very being. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you've been born again, which is the outcome of Jesus' finished work on the cross, Christ lives in you. But that's by faith. That's by faith. So we need to believe some things here. We got to believe that Christ is in us, unless indeed we fail the test, that we have not believed. You become partakers of the divine nature, and the triune God has come to make their abode in you. It says that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is in you. The whole Godhead dwells in you, not just Christ. The whole Godhead will come and make our abode in you, it says in John. So with Him, in you, you now have all the benefits of God within you, and it's accessed by faith. So you're lacking nothing. I've said this before, but Bob Mumford was, and there was kind of a whole kind of a movement for a while, more Lord, more Lord, more Lord, more Lord. And Bob Mumford was praying, more Lord, more Lord, I want more Lord. And finally God answered him and says, I've given it all, Bob. The problem's on your end. He hasn't withheld anything from you. It's our lack of hearing and growing in faith. Hearing the Word of God and growing in faith. We need to hear and let faith come. So 2 Peter 1:3 says, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He's granted us His precious and magnificent promises. He's granted them. Okay? So that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. So this 3B, this 3B, every once in a while my tongue gets over my eye teeth and I can't see what I'm going to say. Okay, so He's granted to you this 3B sandwich. How about that? So you need to take it in and let it be food for your soul. So let's get to the 3B sandwich. Here it is. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. We used to call that a Dagwood. Not really. Dagwood sandwich was a lot of other things. But how many remember Dagwood? See, there's a few. There's a few that still know about Dagwood. Okay. So finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So there's, you see the three B's in there, but this statement comes at the end of the letter of Corinthians as an admonishment to all the saints. But if you were to read the letter of 2 Corinthians, you'd find out that these guys were probably not, or they didn't have it all together. Would you say that, Gary, in your Corinthians? That there was still some work to be done with these guys. But he's writing this letter, and then at the end he gives them this admonishment. Finally, brethren, do these things and be these things. So, on one side of the sandwich is rejoice. So let's call that the top bun there. And the bottom bun is peace on the other side. And in between we have be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded. Not all versions use be made complete. So if your version says something else, know this, that whatever your version has, what I'm going to be talking about, they based it out of that. Okay? So, we're going to be talking about what it really says. So anyway, having these truths will assure you, it'll give you confidence that the God of love and peace will be with you. These are important truths to walk in victory. If you have these things, you'll probably be more apt to walk in victory. So let's just head right into it here. Finally, brother, rejoice. So the first word we're going to look at here is rejoice. If Gary talks about chewing on an elephant, I'm talking about chewing on a sandwich, okay? Well, we're going to be chewing today. All right. So the first one is rejoice. Let's take a look at rejoice. And I'm not very good at pronouncing Greek words, but there's the Greek word. But that's the Greek word for rejoice, and it means to delight in God's grace. You can look it up. It means to delight in the grace of God. That's what the word rejoice means. And I just said we draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we might receive mercy and find grace in to help in time of need. So, just think about it. You know, remember Esther? And she was pretty afraid to go in to see the king, because if he didn't put out his scepter, which would have been grace, off of their head. Didn't matter if you were the queen. So it was a pretty scary thing. We have access to God. We have access to God. He's extended out the scepter and says, you can come in to me and ask for help any time. So grace is the access. You know, Bob Mumford again, uses his name twice today. But anyway, his definition of grace is something that I've grabbed onto. He said that grace is access to the Father, which was supplied to us through His Son Jesus in the death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. We have access to the Father. We have access to the Father. Can we rejoice over that? Is there any joy in our hearts that says, wow, I have access to the Father? His scepter has been put out to me and He isn't drawing it back. You can come to the Father anytime. That's the first thing we need to know, is that we have access, and we should be rejoicing over that. We should be delighting in the fact. Delight over the grace of God. Chew on that. Delight on it. Let's start delighting over the grace of God. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God towards you in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. All the promises. If there is any promises of God to you who have Christ in you, all the promises are yes and amen. You need to know that. Grace has been extended to us, and we need to rejoice over that. So that's part of the sandwich that we have. So we'll put that in yellow and go down and get peace here. I'm going to take the other half of the bun. Peace is all about the reality of our relationship with God. We have peace with God. This peace that we're talking about in this verse is peace with God. That we have peace with Him. So, a couple of scriptures that kind of let us know about this peace. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus has established peace with God for you. It isn't something that you came up with. They're trying to make a peace deal over in Israel. We can try to make a peace deal with God if I do this. Can I find your favor, God? I'll do this all for you if you will. No, it wasn't something we did. It was what Jesus did. He established peace with God for us. And in Colossians 1:20, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. We have peace with God because Jesus' blood. Because your sins have been atoned for in heaven. You have peace with God. The ought that was there that kept you from having peace has been removed. Okay, these are important truths that we need to hang on to so that these things in the center hold true too. But we need to know these things first. And that was all accomplished with Jesus. All right. Being made complete. The first of the three portions of meat in the sandwich. Being made complete means this. I'll just go to the next slide. That's the Greek word. But the being is to bring into its proper condition. Bring it into its proper condition. Just to bring us into who we properly are. Think of the prodigal son who is gone and he comes back home to his father and he thinks he's going to make peace with him through his own way. But the father, he's taken care of that already in his heart. And then he restores him to his proper place. Bring the robe, bring the ring, put shoes on his feet. He's my son. To be restored back to your proper place. Be made complete. Be restored back to your proper place. Well, there's a lot that we could go into on that because the Holy Spirit is trying to fit each of us into where we belong in the body. But the first thing we need to know is we're children of God. We're not just any old people here. We're children of God. He's restored us back to our proper place. Being made complete. Now He's going to use you in a proper way in the body as He sees fit by the Holy Spirit. He'll manifest Himself through you in a proper way too. But the first thing we need to know, and what I really want you to grab onto, is that you're truly a child of God. In the spirit of adoption, yes, but not like we think of adoption. You weren't a child, or you were a child, really, but you had been taken away, and you were owned by somebody else. But now, and you were taken away as an earthly man and separated from God, and that earthly man had to die with Christ at the cross so that you could truly be born again, a true child of God, not by just adoption, but by birth. You were born a child of God. So when you read the word adoption, it's a spirit of adoption. It's not like we think of adoption. And yes, you know, like we even talked about this in Sunday school this morning a little bit, that, you know, when we adopt kids, the best thing we can do is treat them like our own children. Okay? Try to treat them just like your own children. But the truth of the matter is, many adopted people, when they get a little older, start looking for their real mom and dad. They want to know who really birthed me in here. Well, for us, And everybody in here who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been born of God. Our Father is God. You go looking for your roots, you come back to God. That's who you're born of in John chapter 1. He gave you the right to become children of God, not born of flesh, but born of God. We've been born of Him. So, I just want to give you one little tidbit. Galatians 6:1. If you see any brother caught in any trespasses, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Guess what? Same word. Bring them back to who they are in Christ Jesus. Bring them back to the truth. No, that's not who you are. You're a child of God. What you got into is something else. But restore them back to being made complete in Him. If we're going to help people, let's bring them to the truth of what Jesus has done. Our proper place. Philippians 2:12 says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to work and to will and to work for His good pleasure." I'm going to let you know something here that we might help to restore someone back to the truth. But something was given. Something was given when Jesus was exalted on high and He received from the Father the Holy Spirit and He poured that out. "I will give you another helper. And He will lead you into all truth." So we have this gift of the Holy Spirit to help us, remind us who we are. But we sometimes need to encourage people to put their faith back in that. Okay? And it says, "Be comforted. Be comforted." So to be comforted in earthly things is one thing, but to be comforted heavenly things is another. And we're talking about being comforted in heavenly things. So we got two words up here. The second one we probably know, that's the noun. And the one on top is the verb. The one on the bottom is parakletos, speaking of the Holy Spirit. And the one on top is what the Holy Spirit does. It's the verb. It's the action. So we're talking about be comforted. Be comforted. Be comforted. Well, that comfort comes from the one who was sent to comfort us. Okay? Same word. But it has to do with the comfort. It has to do with our testimony. It is how we overcome the accuser of the brethren who brings a lot of discomfort to us. But we have to know some things. Once you know the truth, like the truth of the death and resurrection of Jesus, the truth of us, that even though we die on this earth, we never die. We have to know. You know, it's so good. You know, being at your funeral of Harold, being with your family, and to know the hope that you guys are hanging on to, that this won't be long. Especially for some of us older ones. That we're all together again. And Harlan, you know, he waited for the day when he could be with Joel. Well, I'll tell you, he's with him now. They're together. They are together. Because Harland has stepped over into another realm of reality. It's the true reality. Heaven is more real than earth. Heaven has been around longer than earth has. And heaven will remain forever. So be comforted. So we need the word of our testimony updated with the truth to really be comforted. But it's the Holy Spirit who is sent to lead us into all truth. This word also has to do with, it's a kind of a legal term, of one who is able to bring up evidence that stands up in the courts of heaven. Evidence that stands up and holds in the courts of heaven. So when the accuser comes and he tells you something else, you need to have your testimony from the Holy Spirit, what's true in heaven. And He will let you know what's true there. And it quiets all the other voices. When He speaks as an advocate, it's over. Because there is no greater truth than that which the Holy Spirit can bring. I was contemplating something this week about people who tend to look at the Holy Spirit as a prosecuting attorney rather than a defense attorney. That the Holy Spirit comes to find you out. And He's a prosecuting attorney. But I see that the Holy Spirit is really a defense attorney. He's been called the advocate. He's on my side. So I wrestled with that a while, and I finally found out why He's looked both ways. And it's your identity. It's my identity problem. If I'm identifying with who I am in Christ Jesus on the inside, the Holy Spirit is my advocate. He reminds me of that. He tells me of that. Now, listen up. If you identify with who you are on the outside, if you think that this is your identity and that this world that you live in is really who you are, that's the members of my body called the flesh. Guess what? The flesh and the spirit are on two sides. So if your identity is in the outside, pretty soon the Holy Spirit becomes a prosecuting attorney because He's against your flesh. He's against all that. In fact, He come to put to death the deeds of the body. So it's where our identity is that's the problem. It's not that the Holy Spirit changes. He's got a mission, but His mission is to support who I am in Christ Jesus and to be an advocate for who I am in Christ Jesus. But He is opposed to the things of the flesh. So I'm just saying to be comforted is to find your identity in Christ Jesus. You have to find your identity there and abide there. Abide in Me, says the Lord. It's not about, you know, well, on Sunday I'm kind of in the Spirit, but the rest of the week I got to live in this world, so I'm just in the... No! That's not how it is. We live in the Spirit 24/7. Work or not work. I've appreciated Adam so much with some of the testimonies he's been bringing because he's in the work environment and he runs into things. But the cool testimony is the Lord is right there too and bringing comfort to Adam in many ways. I've really appreciated that, Adam, all the testimonies. And just think of everybody else. You know, some of us aren't quite in the same place. But we need to know that we're on with the Lord 24/7. Our life is in Him all the time. Okay. So to be comforted is to be listening to who, listening from the place of who you are in Christ Jesus, because you have one who's for you, and He will be able to come against all the things of this world, including death. Including death. Death no longer has dominion over us. That's a big deal. It really is. And we really need to be comforted with the fact of all that Jesus has done. And the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything that's been freely given to you. He will do that. Okay, the last B here, be like-minded. So, I want you to know that in this verse especially, he's talking about being like-minded with God. Not just being like-minded with one another. And we do want to be like-minded with one another. Okay? But if Candy is like-minded with God and I'm like-minded with God, Candy and I are like-minded. But our like-mindedness is based on our like-mindedness with God, not just being like-minded. You know, like we both like green carpet or something. I think that was a lie. I'm just picking that up from Candy. But the truth of the matter is according to the truth, and if I'm like-minded with God and Candy is, and you are, then we're like-minded. But our like-mindedness is based on being like-minded with God. Not just any kind of like-mindedness. And here's a scripture that I looked at. 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that He will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Wow. We do? We do. We have the mind of Christ. Once you become partaker of these things, you'll know for sure that the love of Christ is with you. But this whole thing about being like-minded with Him, it's not the natural mind. This like-mindedness is not something that you can come up with here. Up here we can agree on things. We can agree on lots of stuff in our outer man. We might even agree on spiritual things. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being one with Him, just as the Father and the Son are one. We're one with Him. One with the Lord. One with Him. We're in Christ Jesus, and just like the Son and the Father are one, we have become one. Take some revelation. Chew on it. Chew on that one. I'm one with the Father just like the Son is one with the Father. I've been brought into the Godhead because I'm in Christ Jesus. Do you see yourself there? Can you see yourself one with the Father, like-minded with Him? Or do you still see yourself trying to get in? Because if you see yourself trying to get in, the devil can come and ensure that he puts up enough roadblocks that you may not want to jump over all those. Or he'll convince you that you're not in. But if Jesus' prayer is true in John 17, John 17, I think, is where he prayed the prayer that there'll be one just like we are one. Just like it. Just like it. He's saying it's just like this. It's just like we are one. You're going to be one. Like-minded with Him. Well, the first thing you have to chew on is that that's a truth. That's a truth. Then the Scripture starts, when you read the rest of the Scripture, it starts making a little different impact on you. Because I'm right in there with Him. I'm right in there with Him. There's many books that have been written about trying to find God. You know, chase after Him or look for Him. All I'm saying is, let's go with the Scripture. He found us. And He brought us into Him. And He's given us Himself. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Wow. I mean, that's a big deal. And when He appears, I'll be like Him. And when Christ, who is my life, Christ is my life. There's a spot down in here called the phrene, the frenero. It's another spot. It has the meaning of the midriff. It doesn't mean up here. And that's this word mind in the frenero. The frene. It's down in here someplace that you have the mind and you're like-minded with Him here. This thing, that only gets to do what this tells it. I love it, Gary. It really helped when you instructed us about the Spirit in me. That's for the Lord. It's Christ in me. He's the Lord. There's only one Lord. The kingdom of God has come in me, but that came with a Lord. Lord Jesus. My soul. That's just the steward. The soul just becomes a steward of the things of God. So the Lord speaks and the soul stewards what the Lord has said. Today, if you hear His voice, that's a hearing down in your soul. It's not. It's something that you know inside here. You heard the Lord. And now your soul stewards that. And it puts all its emotions and all the stuff that your soul can do. It takes what God wants and it puts everything into it. Talk about football players wanting to put everything into it. Well, we're going to put everything into the voice of the Lord, what He wants. We're going to put our whole soul, all of its stuff, and supply what the Lord wants. And then the body, it's just a slave. It doesn't have anything except to do what the steward wants it to do. So you got the Lord, the steward, and the slave. When it, in the Bible, I've been looking at that since then, Gary. Every time it says steward, I think of my soul. When it talks about a good steward, it's how are you taking what God is saying and making it happen through the body. To be like-minded. That's why we need to be in a proper place, being made complete. So that's my 3B sandwich. But the last verse there, and the God of love and peace will be with you. After you're eating this, and you've eaten it all up, and you've believed it, and you've consumed it, and you chewed on it, the outcome of that is you're full of love and peace from God. It brings love and peace from God. It's satisfying. It gives you something to be satisfied with and to just kind of sit back and watch the Vikings fall. Except they're not playing today. They're on bye.
They're going to do good today.
Yeah, right.
So that's what's on the menu. It's up to you whether you want to eat it or not. You know, I can't chew it for you. But it was on the menu today, and it's one of those things that you can take home and eat it for yourself, okay? You've got to eat it for yourself. I can show you the menu. I can tell you it's there. But you need to eat it for yourself. You have to chew on it. You have to find that place. So, Lord, You've given us a lot. You've given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. And help us to be all that You want us to be. And it's something that we can by faith be, not by works. Because You've already accomplished this for us, we can believe it and receive it. We can just believe it and receive it from You. So Lord, help our faith to grow, that we can really be people that are walking in a way that's pleasing to You in all that we do. Thank You, Lord. I know we're on this journey and we're wanting to eat, but we don't want to be like those and that You talked about in Hebrews that are just back drinking milk again, just eating mashed potatoes. That's all I eat. I don't eat nothing else, just mashed potatoes. Lord, we don't want to be those who are on milk. We want to eat meat. We want to eat things that really can satisfy and satisfy us for a long time. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen.